Welcome to the Science Update Podcast. I'm Bob Hirshon, and this is the podcast for August 31st, 2012.
The Science Update Podcast is produced by AAAS, advancing science, serving society.
We recorded songs from these whales almost throughout the whole winter and often 24 hours a day.
Males would call and become alert and often run around in response to these infrasonic signals.
If a chimpanzee is sitting there eating a tray of food and another chimpanzee pulls that tray away, the chimpanzee who lost the food will get very upset.
We had this massive theft going on.
This week, why chimps don't share our sense of justice, and what gibbons on helium can tell us about sopranos. Also, deciphering the peacock's hidden message, and did an oversized rodent save a tree species from extinction? But first, Suzanne Bard investigates the similarities between an endangered whale species and songbirds.
The critically endangered bowhead whale sings a variety of complex songs, many more than any other whale studied to date. This according to University of Washington oceanographer Kate Stafford. She and her colleagues placed underwater microphones in the Arctic Ocean in an attempt to detect the whales. They were amazed to record over 60 different bowhead whale songs.
We had hoped to simply hear a few signals from these whales to know that they were still there. Instead, we recorded songs from these whales almost throughout the whole winter and often 24 hours a day.
This suggests that bowheads are more like songbirds in their singing behavior than other whales.
Bowhead whales to date are the only whale that we've studied that we know has a very extensive what's called repertoire, so that they sing many songs. This hasn't been found with other whales, but it has been found in numerous bird species.
The researchers don't yet know whether a few whales sang a number of different songs each, or if many whales are each singing one song.
What this research really did for us was present many, many more questions that we need to ask than answers.
Stafford says bowhead whales were decimated by whalers 3 centuries ago. But she says if a number of whales are singing, this suggests that the bowhead whale population may be doing better than previously thought.
Thanks, Suzanne. Male peacocks are known for their gaudy displays to attract females. But now, scientists from the University of Manitoba report that peacocks also advertise themselves with sounds that fall below the range of human hearing. Animal behaviorist Angela Freeman says the sounds, produced in part by feather vibrations, also capture the attention of rival males.
When we played back the displays in the infrasound ranges, we found that males would call and become alert and often run around in response to these infrasonic signals.
She says other animals, such as elephants, giraffes, and whales, also use infrasound to communicate, but that these signals have sometimes been overlooked because we can't hear them.
And it's important that we don't just focus on the things that are obvious to us.
Next, in the Northern Hemisphere, squirrels are famous for hiding nuts and seeds and retrieving them later. But closer to the equator, a rodent called the agouti is giving them a run for their money. Suzanne has that story.
A medium-sized rodent called the agouti may have prevented a plant species from going extinct. Like squirrels, Central American agoutis hide seeds for when food gets scarce. Until now, no one knew just how much the rodents move their cache seeds before actually eating them. Ohio State University biologist Ben Hirsch and his colleagues at the Smithsonian Tropical Research Institute in Panama used radio transmitters to track seeds of the black palm tree after agoutis had cached them.
Just a few days later, they would be removed, but when we went to find the eaten seed, it wasn't eaten. It was buried again. And then a day or two later, it was moved again and buried again. And one seed was moved 36 times.
He says remote cameras revealed which agouti moved the seed each time.
Every time that seed was moved, when we found the new location of the seed, we would take a remote camera and point it at the cached seeds. So anytime an animal came and dug that seed up, we would know who the animal was.
To the researchers' surprise, the cameras caught different agoutis moving the same seed.
So we had this massive theft going on.
The black palm's original seed disperser is long extinct, so all this thievery may help some seeds get to places where they can grow. Hirsch says ultimately, not all the cache seeds get eaten.
And every time the seeds were moved, in general, the seeds moved further away from the original source. So from the tree's point of view, this massive recaching and the stepwise dispersal is actually really good for the tree because it's getting the seeds further away from the tree than they originally were.
Thanks for that report, Suzanne. As our closest living relatives, chimpanzees offer a fascinating perspective on what makes our species unique. In our next story, correspondent Justin Warner tells us about a potentially important difference between chimpanzees and us when it comes to crime and punishment.
Chimps are highly social, but unlike humans, they don't penalize antisocial behavior unless it affects them directly. That's the conclusion of a recent study at the Max Planck Institute for Evolutionary Anthropology in Germany. Psychologist Keith Jensen, also of Queen Mary University in London, says his team focused on third-party punishment, the act of penalizing community members who victimize others. It's already known that dominant chimps will break up fights between other chimps, but that could be a way of asserting control rather than protecting a potential victim.
The thing with third-party punishment that's important is that the punisher doesn't stand directly to benefit. And so you can see that, you know, you're weeding away the potential selfish gains and saying, well, what are the group benefits that might result from this sort of behavior?
For this study, Jensen's group set up several conditions involving different combinations of chimps.
Previous work we'd done showed that if a chimpanzee is sitting there eating a tray of food and another chimpanzee pulls that tray away, the chimpanzee who lost the food will get very upset and will collapse a table if able to do so, preventing the other chimpanzee from eating.
Those experiments were repeated this time around with similar results. But this time there were also new conditions, including one where one chimp watched another steal food from a third. The witnessing chimp then had the opportunity to punish the thief by collapsing the table, thereby blocking access to the ill-gotten food.
If they have rules such as stealing is bad, not just stealing from me, but stealing is bad, then this should be very upsetting, and then they should collapse the table in response.
But they didn't, at least no more than in neutral situations. And that was true whether the witnessing chimp was dominant or submissive, and whether or not the victim was related to the witness.
Well, what we found then overall was that there's just no third-party punishment across the board.
The results suggest that humans may be uniquely predisposed to this sort of social justice.
Thanks, Justin. When I inhale helium from this party balloon, it makes my voice sound like this. Scientists in Japan recently tried the same thing with small apes called white-handed gibbons to learn how their sophisticated songs can be heard through the jungle for up to 2 miles. Here's a normal gibbon call. And here's one in a helium-rich environment. According to Takeshi Nishimura from the Primate Research Institute in Kyoto, the experiments showed that gibbons can adjust their vocal tracts to amplify the lowest frequencies in their voice, even when it's artificially altered by helium. It's a kind of vocal control that world-class opera sopranos develop, and it may be what allows them to project their voices so well. The discovery suggests that despite our highly sophisticated speech, human vocal anatomy may not be as unique as we thought. Well, that's all we have for you this week. Next week, we'll have a whole new set of exciting science stories for you. But if you can't wait that long, tune into the Science Update Podcast Daily Edition every day, Monday through Friday. You can find it on our website, scienceupdate.com, or at iTunes. You can also check out our Science Updates fan page on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. And if you have a science question, give us a call at 1-800-WHY-IS-IT. That's 1-800-949-4748. Thanks for listening. I'm Bob Hirshon for AAAS, the Science Society.